Howdy.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, welcome. Hi. JD, to mm-hmm. our podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
First time, long time.
Why do people even bother saying that?
I don't know.
Is it like tradition? I guess it is, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
It's your way of saying, hey, you know, I'm a big fan.
First time calling, long time listener.
But why do you think they care it's your first time calling? First time caller, long time listener. So the last time I talked to you guys on air.
Because it's classic.
It's just what you say.
It's just what you say.
Well, we don't have any callers on this show, JD, because we kill them all.
So.
Yeah. Not as funny as it sounded in my head.
Yeah.
Because we don't have phones that people can publicly call, really.
Okay.
They could tweet at us, I guess.
Yeah.
You could say, hey.
But you killed everyone.
First time
so
tweeter.
So nobody is listening to this.
First time tweeter, long time listener. From the grove. This is Presto to start. Your
look,
screen
this bit's not, not landing, okay?
From a Screen Beakers podcast.
Oh, boy.
We're talking about news and reviews about video game
stuff.
Pew pews.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Shoes.
We talk about news related to video games,
but also video games themselves.
The entertainment medium.
Sorry, I'm trying really hard not to touch my mic stand with my feet.
It's probably a good idea.
It's right down there just by my feet.
Just sit cross-legged.
No, I can't do that on a couch.
Really? It's super comfy.
I don't know. Like my legs eventually fall asleep.
Oh yeah, no. You have to move eventually.
And I really don't like my legs falling asleep, or I start getting a cramp. I'm a big cramper. I just take big cramps.
Krampus.
My God. That's it.
The answer to everything.
So we don't really have a huge, big, world-changing news this week, but...
No, but we played some cool stuff.
Yeah, we did, like, not world-changing, but big stuff. We're, like, on top of this for once.
What? It's crazy.
And, you know, there have been some pretty cool, interesting announcements. Nothing... No, actually, yep, there was something controversial. So we can also talk about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Something I don't care about?
Oh, probably. Probably. Rainbow Six. But we'll give you the lowdown on that, and even I'll even tell you about its happy ending. Of course, some people refuse happy endings. You know what I mean? They're just like, hey, Big Mama.
Right.
This can't end happily.
It's just what you say when you talk about not happy endings.
Yeah. Right. You're just like, no, I got to make, no, I'm not happy.
Right. Hey, mama.
Hey, mama. Hey, mama.
That classic phrase.
But before we do that.
Segways.
Yeah. Before we do that, it's only awkward if you make it awkward.
Hey, mama, this is what you plan.
What you plan?
Are you boys having your podcast? Why do you keep asking me
Mom!
Things? I'll step away from the microphone.
Mom, I'm working!
Sorry. That was my mother. That was near the microphone and I wasn't.
Since you Will Ferrell there for a minute, did you see him on SNL this last weekend?
No.
It was pretty. He had a pretty good one.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I know you love him.
Who doesn't?
He's more of a hit and miss for me. You know, when he's on, he's my favorite person.
Yeah.
But then when he's missing, I'm just like, I don't know. You're trying too hard this time, bud.
I think every comedian goes through that. You know?
I don't. There are some comedians where it doesn't matter what they're doing. You know?
I think he's more hit.
Bill Hader.
I can't
even look at him. You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I just can't picture him in my mind's eye. Yeah, this guy.
I don't know what it is about him.
I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff with him, really.
He's normally like a side character.
Yeah.
He'll just slip in.
Yeah.
Like Steve Carell. I always like Steve Carell. It doesn't matter what he's doing.
Oh, Steve Carell's amazing.
Right. But sometimes with Will Ferrell, it's just like, okay, I've had too much
ice
cream.
What was that character he played on SNL?
I don't need ice cream now.
On the news thing?
I don't know. Definitely not a video game. God, JD.
You're the one bringing up comedians and me going Will Ferrell on people.
We both played the Sea of Thieves beta.
Sea of Thieves?
I prefer the singular plural.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, it was Tolkien who messed it all up.
Did he?
Never mind. This is an obscure reference.
Okay.
Dwarves and dwarfs.
Sure.
Dwarfs is the real life people. Dwarves are the fictional ones.
Sure. Okay.
Tolkien messed it up.
Mm.
People mix it up. Just like thieves.
And thieves.
Oh, JD got the Sea of Thieves beta because he signed up for it whenever.
I got it the normal way. Jeff had to cheat.
I mean, I came over.
Yeah.
Like, basically got onto the boat and was like, yep, I'm in.
It's so funny to me that that sold you.
There are just some things.
You're a
that
weird
just,
kid.
Like, certain mechanics.
But I get it.
If they just feel right, I'll just immediately be sold.
Yeah.
I know there have been other things like that. Dang it, what was it? I can't remember. But there have been
for
other,
a beta recently?
Yeah, there have been... Not maybe not recently, but in the past few years, like a beta or a demo where just within a few minutes, I was like,
Division?
Yeah, the Division also did that where I was just like, I don't know about this. And then the beta, like walking through the street, I was like, yeah, I don't really care. I'm into this.
That's funny because both
Breath of the Wild, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny because both of these games, I mean, the Division and Sea of Thieves, I'm. Played the beta and wasn't super on board with either of them. I was interested in both of them, but wasn't as hyped as you and Scott are.
Right.
For Sea of Thieves right now.
And I mean, I
think you less so than Scott.
I'll admit it. The Division ended up not being as fantastic as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Or as I hoped it would be.
Sure.
And that totally has room to happen here in Sea of Thieves. But from
apparently,
what we...
Division's got better.
That's actually. What everyone says, Division...
I don't know how... That happened.
Everyone's
or
like,
what
this
changed,
is what happens with Ubisoft games now. After a year, they become amazing.
That's weird.
I mean, that's apparently what happened with Siege. I don't know. I only got in once Siege was good.
Yeah.
I'd have
to pick it back up and see what if it actually feels different or if it's just like a,
I think it's just
if has, you've been playing it.
It has really good end game content. Well, no, I don't know what it is.
Hmm. Weird. Anyways.
I assume it still feels about the same. So if you didn't think it felt good, but maybe it does.
I don't know. Maybe the gameplay changes make it feel good, though.
The Division has an Xbox One X update. I can try that out.
Because Jeff is getting an Xbox One X. Surprise.
Yeah. I mean, because I found a good buyback system in a friend who's willing to buy my Xbox.
Yeah.
Oh, Sea of Thieves, though. So where do we even start with this? The beta is, as everyone will tell you, very bare bones.
It is very bare bones.
But there is stuff in there. Like figuring out, oh, we can buy clothes or better equipment and that will stay with us. It just gets shunted into these equipment chests once we log out and come back in.
Mm.
And you keep your gold and you're ranking with the gold people. I don't know why you lost it. Probably because weird server problems.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
Like that you it wasn't even letting you buy treasure charts because it was like, oh yeah, you don't got any money, and you're like, yeah, this one's free, give it to me.
You're counting my $0 and there's nothing there.
But I mean, so gameplay loop is pretty basic. Either you get a couple of treasure chests, get on your ship and go hunt treasure, or you just kind of like float around attacking other people because there really isn't much else to do other than those things.
Right.
You're not really, there's no real reason to go to the various islands to scout them out because there's nothing really to find there except for like cool environments.
Yeah.
Which can be rewarding and might not be.
I mean, like I've said before, and I think both of us agree that sometimes finding something cool visually or, you know, just like seeing the landscape or seeing something cool is enough of a reward.
Right. Sometimes it is.
Of itself.
And sometimes it just isn't. And I don't really know why it works in some games and why it doesn't in others.
Yeah. For me, it doesn't work in Sea of Thieves.
No, I didn't feel like it worked in Sea of Thieves either. Like getting to the top of a really cool looking island. It's just like, yep. Oh, cool. A barrel with bananas.
Yeah. I think the problem for me is that there's just nothing to find. Unless you have a treasure chart, you have no reason to go to an island.
Right. But counterpoint, I loved the treasure charts. I loved getting them. And like sometimes how you'd get clues and they're like little riddles. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we got like normally they'd start out telling you an island's name, but they also sometimes just like hinted at an island's name, which was weird. And then we go to it and the next clue would appear and it's like, all right, fine. You know, in a rhyme, find the bridge between two rocks. And it was like, okay, where's that? Oh, there it is. And then we raced to it. This was Scott and I did this. And then, you know, it'd be like, now find the turtle painting. And it's like, that's what those paintings are about. Mm-hmm. And figuring out that we could hold out our compass and count your paces with it vibrating to your
controller. I think I did the turtle one with you.
I mean,
because yeah. I found the turtle painting.
I'm mixing and matching different ones here.
Okay, sure.
I don't know. It was, and that stuff was really cool. And then, for some reason, whenever we were playing with you, we never encountered other players. And I think it's because they detected your hatred of PvP in this situation.
That is a first for me. So that's good.
That's what's... I mean, I'm just making assumptions here. Because when Scott and I played a heck of a lot more Sunday night, like, ships up the wind... Every time we'd, like, go in toward a harbor, we'd see another ship, and it would be a panic of, like, trying to get our chests in... And or like, okay, let's go. Let's just find another outpost. There are too many other people here. Yeah. And that was amazing. It made the story, the emergent story and gameplay, just so cool to me.
Uh-huh.
I know it's not really your thing.
On paper, it is a good idea. Because in the real world, you would be more safe going into a harbor with lots of other people.
Right.
Because but in the internet world, with anonymity and everything, there is no rules. There are no rules, and people will probably shoot on sight.
Right. Like, even if it means that they get sunk too.
Yeah.
Because if they've already turned in their stuff, they'll have like nothing to lose. And especially in this beta, they'll have nothing to lose. And that sure. was one thing that I am making a positive assumption about. Which seems very logical to me. So I'm assuming the game works this way. If you get your ship sunk, there will be major repercussions to play. pay.
Yeah.
In the real game. Here, your ship is just free. If your ship got sunk, you'd get it again somewhere else. So
I think that's a fine assumption to make.
I'm assuming in the real game, this will create a sort of social compact of like, none of us want to have to pay to repair our ships. And I know that there's enough other people here that if I turn on you, everyone's going to turn on me. We'll have to see.
I'm dubious.
It might not work that way.
I'm dubious just because internet. I just know the internet and everybody's a troll. So not everybody, but there are a lot of people that troll.
There are a lot of calls for a pure PvE servers mm-hmm. where like there is no PvP. Either people can't hurt each other.
You know, I think it'd be cool if there were just locations that were instanced for you and your crew. People have brought up the idea of having your own island and being able to upgrade it.
Oh, I totally want that.
And I know you would love that. Like, and I would love that too.
And I mean, I'm not going to lie. As we were sailing around to different islands, I was like, if I knew I could like claim one of these islands, I would be exploring way more because I'd be like, I want to find the perfect hideout spot.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and I don't want to do the No Man's Sky thing of just assuming features that I want will be in there.
Right, yeah.
Unless they seem extremely logical, such as, if your ship gets sunk, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. I think that, that's a fine assumption, because why would you not do that in the main game?
Yeah, that's
because that would create a ridiculous...
economy.
Just community. Like, it just... be anarchy.
Exactly.
And I mean, you're pirates, but come on.
Small instance things. And in interviews, and this is the problem that undoubtedly, if you're listening to this, you know, it's really hard to suss out what features, just like with No Man's Sky, Rare was talking about how they're planning and what features will actually be in the final game. And they're being frustratingly and in many eyes, suspiciously cagey about this. My assumption is because they don't know what they're going to have to cut prior to release, and they'll have to implement over a period of time.
Okay.
And not necessarily because, I don't know, they're trying to make, like, trying to imply features won't be there. Because they've definitely said a lot of things, such as large jungle areas, not just small islands.
The reason why it's more suspicious is just because we are at the end of January. It is almost February. This game comes out in March.
Mid-March.
This is not... this at this point, you should know what's going to be in your final game.
Oh, probably true. It only has digital distribution, though, doesn't it? I don't think it has a physical release.
I'm pretty sure it does.
I could be wrong.
I could have swore.
But the fact is that it's all on servers. It's all always online. There is no offline. So it doesn't even really matter what's on the discs.
Yeah, it's a physical version. There's a box right here.
The review embargo lifts in 2 weeks. Presumably, review outlets will know more. We'll have to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
I'm very curious. I know, so JD's plan is presumably, assuming he's still interested when the game comes out, to get the Xbox Game Pass, use it for free for like a week or two.
Yeah, so if you don't know what the Xbox Games Pass is, there are certain games that they put into this program that allow you, if you spend the $10 a month, you get to play whatever games are on this service for free for a month. Well, you know, for $10 for a month or for however long you have the subscription for. And Sea of Thieves is going to be on there, and they go on there the day of release. So you can play it day one for $10.
Yep.
Which is cool. You know, it's like renting a game.
Exactly.
And but you get it for a month instead of...
And everything else in the Game Pass.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see what else. Combat, pretty lame.
It's bare bones.
I mean, okay. Hand-to-hand combat, pretty lame. Ship combat with a crew, amazing. Loved it. It was so intense and cool. Just like manning cannons, and then someone needs to get down and patch. And then, oh my God, guys, we're flooding. Everyone get down here and help bail. This is,
yeah.
It was, and we haven't even talked about sailing, which was the actual thing that sold me on it. Like immediately, just on the thing, looking out over water that looks too good.
Do we know if the water does look amazing?
I can't believe the water doesn't look that good in every game if it looks that good in this game.
I think, I mean, part of the reason it looks so good is just because the stylized of the game is so good.
The water looks so cool.
It does.
Like, the weather effects are stylized, and they look amazing and perfectly fitting to the style that they are.
Yeah, and I told Jeff this, but it reminds me so much of Curse of Monkey Island's art style.
I mean, like, with the super long faces...
And the swoopy clouds in the air. The air.
And the like hyper saturated cartoony like islands and stuff. Yeah. But the water just looks so.
So do we know if your crew is limited to only four?
Not sure.
Because that big ship
could be six people. I mean, the sloop could be three.
Yeah.
It could even be four. People would probably get bored, but it could be four. But in the demo, you picked what size ship you started out with. And if you didn't have enough people to fill that ship, it would randomly matchmake you with other people. A lot of people are making assumptions that that's how the main game is 100% going to run.
That's a ridiculous assumption.
And yeah, that's a very ridiculous assumption because they've made it very clear having your own personal ship and outfitting it and is like the main part of the game. And so it would be weird if it always forced you to have other people on your ship to captain it. My big concern, I guess not really concern, thing that I'm really, really confused about, because like if the base game, if the actual game was the beta, but with more content and actual progression, my real question is, so does everyone start with a sloop? Because that's lame. Then I have to like decide, oh, Scott, whose ship are we going to use and actually like upgrade this time we play?
Right.
I don't know. It seems more cool for us to have like a communal ship.
Right.
But I also want to have my own. I don't know. I want to know how that works because I don't. It doesn't really worry me. I just want to know. Because I want to have my ship. I want to paint a name on the side of it if possible.
And this is just the base of all of my problems is they just haven't just been telling us anything. Right. And the beta for me is not enough. I think it's way too empty, which is hilarious coming from me because I am so fine with games having a lot of emptiness to them.
Right, but there's emptiness and then there's pointlessness.
Yeah.
Right?
Because like Breath of the Wild has a lot of empty space, but there's always something to find.
And there's ultimately no difference between the outposts in the beta. It's like one outpost is identical to any other outpost, just difference in layouts. Whereas I want the main game to actually have differences between the outposts. And I really hope there is because... They should know that this is pointless. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I was so happy and having so much fun just sailing around on a sloop by myself that I'll be fine with, even if it's just that.
Yeah.
With a little more stuff to do, so I have more reason to do it.
Yeah.
Because even when when I was playing alone, it was just cool and like meditative to be like setting a course and then letting go of the wheel and like trimming the sails.
See, that does appeal to me. I think one of my problems is, and I'm interested to hear what you think about this too, is that I don't think that the world has much character, at least in the beta.
For sure. It's just a weird collection of islands. I agree.
There's just a smattering of islands. No one talks, which I found and just so, weird and disconcerting.
Number one wanted thing that I don't think the real game is going to have.
Voice acting?
I mean, once Scott pointed out, he was like, why don't we have all of these things that are pre-programmed we can make our guys say? Why don't they say them out loud?
Yeah, and Left 4 Dead, you know, like have automatic sayings like, I'm manning the cannon, or I'm like taking the booty or something, like something.
Right. I mean, and all of those ones, like when I was like, I was captaining or whatever, and we had the fourth person who wasn't on voice chat with us.
Yeah.
And I'm saying like, you know, hoist the mainsail, because you get sweet contextual options for what to say based off of what items you're holding or what you're interacting with, which was
really
so
cool.
Like if I had a bucket out, I could say, I need help bailing. Or I have bailing, or, you know, I'm bailing now. I loved all of that. If my character said it out loud, it would add so much to the atmosphere. And then we'd start having these call-outs just happening constantly.
Yeah.
Which was really cool doing in voice chat. And if there were other crews around, you could, like, hear them talking about sailing as they, like, went past, which was magical.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I snuck aboard their ship and then started opening fire and they all freaked out and started screaming. Also magical. Or when Scott and I rammed someone else's ship and both of the crews were just screaming at each other as we rammed. That was amazing. And I love it. It was like everything everyone always told me about Splinter Cell, Spies vs. Mercs.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Back in the old days of capturing someone and then whispering sweet nothings in their ear as you murder them. It was that, except more fun.
Yeah.
But the call out, if the call outs were voiced, I think I would be that extra 5% on board to be 100%.
Yeah.
I would have just been completely sold and bought in once I realized that they were voiced, but they weren't voiced.
It just feels like this game is missing a whole layer of polish. And it's just like a polish that...
Sorry, I laughed at Bubsy, not at you, because...
He's a goofball.
He's like annoying, and then just suddenly he'll be like, plop down in the bed, and you're so cute.
Yeah.
Stupid dog.
But it's a layer of polish that I expect from Rare. And maybe that's a weird thing to expect given the games that I have enjoyed from them they're all old. They're all like 20 years old at this point. Because I haven't played... I mean, the last Rare game I played was Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah.
So...
There was a lot of personality in that.
There really was a lot of personality in that game, despite its flaws.
But I wouldn't be surprised if most of those people are also gone.
It's true. So I'm just missing a lot of this character from this game. And it has character, but it's just missing some life. It doesn't have a soul.
I think some of it is the lack of ambient music. And it's funny because that's not something that exists in real life, right?
Right.
But in games, it kind of helps tell you about what the world is thinking.
Especially in a world that looks like this.
It's weird so, there's no ambient music. I mean, like...
It's so vibrant.
There
looking.
Is some. It's very light, and it just kind of, like, comes in and leaves. But also, I want our instruments to have more than 4 songs. And...
Yeah.
Get rid of this hurdy-gurdy. Give me a freaking fiddle. Okay, the hurdy-gurdy sounds amazing.
It does.
But I don't give a crap about a hurdy-gurdy. I want a fiddle. And like that Irish drum, you know, the one I'm talking about? Play it. Or a mandolin?
Yeah.
That's Irish.
There might be a lot of this stuff later down the road.
Like, and then there's just other weird choices like, so bananas are the healing item, huh?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're insistent it's a Rare reference, or Scott was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was like, you know, it's like a reference to Donkey Kong. I'm like, no one who worked on Donkey Kong is in this company anymore.
If there was a red tie on the barrel, maybe, but like, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bit of a stretch.
Or like a big Rare sticker on the banana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think the bananas are a reference to Donkey Kong. Scott.
Other things I would love for there to be
our one listener.
Yeah. the only person.
Let's just crap all over.
The only listener. I would like there to be like police.
Like NPC police?
Yeah.
Or player police who hunt down pirates with bounties? Okay. I'm just spitballing here, but this is the greatest idea I've ever had. It'd be cool. It makes so much sense.
To have like a server bounty on somebody.
I mean, just like in Division.
Yeah.
As you kill, I mean, in Division.
I think that's changed.
Really?
Because I feel like you have to go into the server as somebody who wants to kill other people.
Oh, because something. I mean, back in the glory days of the Division,
right.
That was the coolest example of PvP social compact actually working and creating cool emergent stories.
Yeah.
And that's how I want Sea of Thieves to work.
There needs to be repercussions for acting like a douche.
Right. And if those repercussions immediately tell, like, put a bounty on your head and tell everyone in the near sea that, hey, this person has a bounty on their head if you kill them. That would basically do it, I think.
That would help a lot.
It would help a lot. It would be like we'd still be cagey about each other, but it would feel cool in piratey. Like, yeah, all right, we're turning in our treasure. Okay, we're not going to attack you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now we turn and walk away. Don't you?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Just like how the Division did it. Slowly watching as you go up to hook your treasure onto the thing.
Watch my back.
Oh man, it was good. Anyway, I'm basically sold. You are not.
I am far from sold at this point.
Well, I mean, in about 2 weeks, those review embargoes will lift. They'll hopefully shed some light on this. I may even cancel my pre-order if they're negative enough, because I have some reviewers I actually trust. And it seems unlikely. I mean, me canceling is pretty unlikely, though, just because I want that moment of being on a ship that is mine.
Yeah.
And just out there sailing, even with a friend or without.
See, like, this sort of game would so appeal to me if it was like, you have this whole sea to explore with islands, and there's stuff to find, and like,
right,
you
could like find, if it was a Breath of the Wild quality world,
you could find like caves and like sunken treasure and like ruined ships and stuff. And
I mean, and
like a ghost ship was somewhere, like you could only find it, you know, at certain times.
Yeah, if
something.
There was more to the world.
Yeah, it just feels. Like an MMO world, you know. And
man, I got into a big conversation with someone about MMO trappings and how like it kind of limits our language when discussing games like Sea of Thieves, but sometimes it's super appropriate because it's it is kind of an MMO world. The only stuff you'll find is very specific things in very specific locations, but Sea of Thieves is really good at avoiding things I hate about MMOs,
I don't have a whole lot of experience with MMOs,
but like super streamlining stuff. You know, like getting rid of the minor chores and stuff. I love that Sea of Thieves makes you do these minor chores. It's not like whenever I play a real MMORPG, it always feels like I'm a representation on like a flowchart, just going to these different things, and have seeing numbers go up.
Like if the Tales games were the overworld map.
I mean, basically. And that's how I feel about it. Yeah, because like there are all these people, but you just walk through them.
Yeah.
Like all of the other players, and like sometimes they interact with you, but not really. And everyone's just saying, oh, you just gotta wait till you get to level 60, then the real game starts. And I'm like,
why can't I have fun from the beginning?
Yeah.
Please.
Anyway, we're interested in Sea of Thieves. I'm basically sold. JD isn't. We'll probably talk more about it as the date approaches in 2 months.
Yeah. Very excited to hear more,
and
though,
Scott,
because
we'll
I
sail the seven seas together, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You playing a concertina.
It's so hard nowadays just because you have to, like, there's so many good games out.
Oh, it's like, I mean, there's plenty of concertinas, like, lessons online.
It's
man.
So hard.
There's a lot of there's a lot of buttons, though.
It's just hard to decide what games you are going to give your time to or not.
Which is why I still haven't played Assassin's Creed Origins, even though I really want to. It's like, dude, I only just finished Senua's Sacrifice, and that was like an 8-hour game.
And that's why I still haven't finished Horizon.
Right.
Because just like busy with other stuff.
Anyways, anyway, I finished Senua. I mean, I don't know. What are thoughts on it?
And what are your specific thoughts on it? Because you had not seen the end of the game.
I mean, I feel like we talked about this a lot when it first came out. I love the audio design of it, as it rightly was nominated for awards. It was fantastic.
Did you play with headphones? I forget.
I did it first, but after like the first one, I was just like, no, I'll just play this normal. And it was fine without them.
Yeah, I played without too. I kind of want to play through again with.
I mean, it was great and like involving, but it felt like too much.
Intense.
I mean, it was just like super intense, and I don't really like wearing headphones for long periods of time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Whereas I know it's different for you. You do it all the time. It makes my head sweaty. Makes me grit my teeth. I don't know why. Like the pressure on my jaw. I think. So I had only played like maybe the first third of the game, and thus I was like, yeah, Melina Jordan, she's great, but no, she's fantastic, and it really comes out in the second two-thirds of the game
when she gets like crazy emotional,
like angry and sad and everything is timid good. It's just really good stuff. The overall story was really interesting. I love the ambiguity of it, which makes sense as you play it more, but I mean, it's not a secret that it's a game about someone who has some form of schizophrenia, and thus I mean, I knew some of the game would be about like, is this real, is this not, and like the question of that, and I love this, the question of that does not tie into the actual plot and events of the game. And I'm sorry if that's kind of a spoiler, but it isn't really.
Yeah.
Like, the game just never questions if it's real, because it's all real to Senua.
It's about her journey.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
and, yeah, the, as in a meta context, questioning what parts of it are real, quote unquote, and how much is real, and all that is interesting, because it helps determine like who is Senua, what is she doing, why does she feel she needs to do this stuff. But in terms of the actual game, it never questions it that hard, if it does question it at all. And that's, I don't know, there's something really cool about that.
Yeah.
It makes it work on different, it makes it work in different ways on different levels. And I think that makes a really engaging, interesting piece of art, which is good, because it was highly recognized as a piece of art.
Yeah, thankfully.
In that way, the combat did get pretty repetitive. There weren't that many variations on the enemies. And kind of like once you figured out the trick to them, they didn't become super easy. I would still get hit, but it would be like...
Well, because they throw so many enemies
at
you.
They just start throwing endless waves of them. And it's like, okay, made it. Oh my God, another wave.
There are a couple different combos you can do with the sword. I don't know if you found them all, but there's at least two separate ones that I found.
I'm a combo dude. I'm a combo dude.
Stabby one. I think there was one after running too.
Yeah, I love the running. It was cool. I mean, the fluid animations and everything of it made... I didn't hate fighting because it was always cool. It made me feel cool in a Dark Souls-y way, getting perfect dodges, parries, attacks, spins. It all felt cool, but it was like, I don't know. By the end of the game, I was just like, oh, cool, another combat segment. Great.
Well, like, it's especially because they get longer as the game goes on. Long. Yeah.
So you said something that the dynamic difficulty has something to do with that, I think.
Well,
if you leave dynamic difficulty on...
I don't know, actually.
I feel like I read this somewhere. If you leave dynamic difficulty on and you do really well at battles, it'll make them longer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, mine was...
I could be misremembering.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love Norse mythology, and all of the different stories from Druth are just classic, great Norse myths. And it always ties into what's going on with Senua, because... Either because she's thinking about them so much or because she's actually experiencing them. Yeah, it's cool. And I love the interpretation of Hel / Hela. Really cool, unique stuff. I mean, Hela's normally represented as like half beautiful woman, half like dead woman. But their representation of her took that and still made a unique instance of it, which is great.
Yeah.
Big fan. I'd like to see more from Ninja Theory in this direction.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun, and I highly suggest it to anyone who enjoys action games or walking simulator type games.
Yeah.
Because
definitely
I thought I had come up with, it's kind of almost half walking simulator-ish. I thought that was a unique thought, and then that's what every review said. And I was like, well, I'm basically a real reviewer now.
Yeah, pretty much. Where's your money?
Just putting it back into these expensive microphones.
Sweet. Yeah, I hope we see more of Melina Jurgens in future game acting roles, or just any acting roles.
Yeah, I hope. But, I hope she
seriously
liked doing it enough.
Yeah,
to do more.
Yeah,
but I accept if she didn't.
It was her first acting because job.
Her first job won her a bunch of awards. Maybe she'll be like, "That's enough," and that's cool. Some people do that.
Yeah,
but
nice
I
to go out on top.
I mean, yeah, I mean, not even just going out on top, just like, this isn't something I really want to do more. So I'm glad I did it.
I imagine it's
and
very
I am
stressful.
Very good at it, and that makes me feel good. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I want her to do more, though.
Yeah.
I just don't want her to feel like she has to. And obviously she's taking my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Very she's seriously. Listening right now.
Yeah. Hey, Melina.
Yeah.
Melina. Jurgens. Whatever.
Yeah.
You played more Xenoblade. Great.
I did. I'm getting close to the end, I think. So good.
Hellblade Dynamic Difficulty.
You need to play more, though.
I remember played when Hellblade instead of Xenoblade.
Do you remember when you were ahead of me?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Like 60 hours ago in my game. I'm almost at 90 hours now. But it's just so good. And
I can only find questions about the permadeath in Hellblade.
You know, the funny thing is, I encountered another tutorial.
What? I told you they don't stop.
They
never
stop.
Remember when I was ahead of you and I was like, oh, no, there's more.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I knew. I played Xenoblade Chronicles. There were tutorials 50 hours in that game. Yeah, it's just really good. I freaking love the characters. I really adore them. They're so much fun. The game is so funny. And anime, which I love. And I'm very excited to see where the story is going. It's just so nice coming to this game after Chronicles X. Where, like, the villains are, like, actually kind of well established and, like,
yeah, right?
Talked about and have personalities. Like,
and
everybody
has explored
personalities.
And answers are almost given for things.
Yeah. Well, especially now, it's like, man, I remember when I was at this point in Xenoblade Chronicles X, and I was asking pretty much all the questions I had been asking since the beginning.
Right.
And they kept asking more questions until this point and hadn't answered anything. So, and it's like, ugh. And then they finished the game by asking another question. Screw you guys. Anyways, we're getting answers, which is good. It's always nice to feel fulfilled in that sense and have those loops closed. You know, there's still questions, and I imagine that certain things will probably still be a little bit open. But there are some things that I'm wondering if they are Easter eggs or mean something else.
Oh, I love that.
So
sort of.
We'll see what happens with that.
Sweet.
But it's really cool. And yeah, I'm sure you're tired of hearing me talk about how great I think this game is.
It's great.
But if you like RPGs, especially JRPGs.
Yeah, get it, Scott.
Yeah, seriously, Scott.
All right, let's talk about our news. Nothing
gross.
Like super big, but just some good weird stuff. Like the fact that the Minecraft edition for Switch is going to be getting a bunch of Microsoft skin packs, such as the Halo series, the Gears of War series, and even the Banjo-Kazooie. Skins, which is nicely
finally
circular.
Coming home. Kind of.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah, very weird. It's so funny.
I mean, you know, honestly, they're just kind of the nuts and bolts interpretation. They're all blocky.
Yeah. Yeah. They're less cuddly looking.
Yeah. The cuddly blocks of nuts and bolts. I don't know how they did it, but they just look like squishy square pillows.
Yeah. It looked very nice.
Anyway, just interesting. I'm assuming it's because Microsoft owns Minecraft, so having Minecraft on Switch is already having Microsoft software on a Nintendo product, yeah. So like, why not go whole hog?
And there's crossplay.
Yeah, and there's crossplay.
Or there will be soon. I forget if that's
I imagine this is part of the step towards being crossplay. It's like, we need to make sure everything available on the
right.
Microsoft version is available. Yeah. Hey, Bubs, what do you need?
Shadow of the Colossus is coming out next Tuesday, February 6th, and reviews are coming out, and they are very good, unsurprisingly, because that game was well-received back in the day.
Sorry, bud.
And is still a good game. So, yeah.
Oh, I had something for this.
You're getting it.
No, yeah, I'm very... 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. Since you looked at me.
Mm.
Cocked your head. No. Yeah, if you are unsure about this thing, very important to read the full reviews, because I see a lot of comments online either complaining the reviews don't talk about how it is as a remake, and other people complaining they only talk about the classic game and don't actually talk about the updated version.
Yeah.
And most reviews are actually really good at being even-handed that way, talking about how this holds up as a current game really well. How the remake aspect of it assists in that with its amazing graphics and slightly updated UI and controls. And then also talk about what has changed so much from the original. You like those three things. Anyway, read these full reviews since I can't give you a real review, obviously, because I ain't played it yet. But
yeah,
it does look beautiful.
Definitely going to be playing it at some point.
And the big complaints about graphics from diehard fans are, oh, it's too saturated. It's not washed out enough. Oh my God. They've totally downgraded it. Yeah. People are dumb. But
wow.
I can agree that it uses a much more vibrant palette than the original did. But here's what's funny. Unlocked from the beginning are different filters you can put on permanently in the options screen, including one that slightly washes things out so that it looks much more like the original.
Is the washed out look essential to the game?
I
guess it gives it a dreary.
It's part of the atmosphere, I'd say. And it's... this is very timely with us playing Silent Hill 2 and discussing the HD updates.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the diehard fans are saying that it's 100% essential. And then other people are saying, like, well, wasn't that just a hardware limitation? And if you have a specific visual art style and it's because of your hardware limitation... Or rather, you arrive at this art style through your hardware limitations. I'd still argue that art style is intrinsic to what you're making. Just like Silent Hill 2 has all of this fog, which was partly to just help the PS2 render better.
Sure.
But it became so intrinsically tied with Silent Hill 2. It's like, yeah, we have a better hardware now. We can reduce some of this fog.
But do you think that the dimmer tones in Shadow of the Colossus is to the fog in Silent Hill? Is it that big of a part of that game in its DNA?
Merely analogous. I think it 100% is to the specific aesthetics of the original game.
I mean, for some people,
everything was
kind
of a washed out gray green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that, and it even went into like the box art and like the official artwork all kind of got this kind of look on it, and supposedly they reached that through the hardware limitations, but then it became something else for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, in case it isn't clear, I disagree with these people that it ruins the game and makes it awful because of it. But if it was, I don't know, like making Wind Waker not shell-shaded.
Cell-shaded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cell-shaded. Trying to pick a game that's closer to you or something. Like, it would be weird. Although Wind Waker HD kind of threw away some of the cell shading to make it a little softer. It
does look beautiful.
Cuddlier, but it still looks beautiful. Anyway, I don't know. I get it, but again, you can turn that on in a filter, which is really cool. There's a bunch of different filters you can turn on if you want.
It's interesting coming from, as an outsider to both of these franchises, Silent Hill 2 and Shadow of the Colossus. I haven't seen Silent Hill 2's, HD remake.
Oh yeah.
But just thinking about
it's basically just upped textures and fog lifted.
Yeah. And just from a conceptual standpoint, thinking about that, it's like, yeah, removing the fog ruins it a little bit, because that is a part of its atmosphere. Like, that is essential to the gameplay itself.
Right. That's what's so hilarious. Like, why would you think this is an improvement?
It's weird. Anyways. So funny little things.
But yeah, that comes out in a week. Woo, excited. BioWare's game that was shown off at E3, Anthem, has been officially delayed to 2019. That's the everyone has the Iron Man suits.
Yep.
If you don't recall. However, BioWare is definitely working on the next Dragon Age. No release date on that yet. They're just definitely working on it. And EA announced their new Battlefield, which is tentatively titled Battlefield 2018, is coming out this year in October.
Wow. When did Battlefield 1 come out?
A year ago-ish? A year and a half?
Okay.
I got it for Christmas last year.
Okay. Interesting. Seems fast.
2 year cycle?
Yeah. I mean, it's not for nowadays, but for the Battlefield franchise, it seems that they've slowly been accelerating.
I wonder if Battlefield 2 is going to be World War 2.
They'll start numbering them now.
Again, after a Battlefield 2 has already...
I know. I'm already upset enough that they called it Battlefield 1. I don't even play Battlefield. But, you know, whatever. Stupid.
I know.
Project Octopath Traveler had an update regarding the little forms you'd fill out after playing the demo. And they're making quite a few changes to the game, or, you know, little tweaks to the gameplay based off of the things that people said, like upping the walk speed to what the sprint speed was, so you don't have to hold down the sprint button or toggle it or whatever to achieve, you know, a movement speed that is probably what everybody's going to be using anyways. You just have to move the joystick all the way and you'll run. But they also added, there still is a sprint button that will make you sprint faster, but it also increases your encounter rate to kind of balance that out.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I like that a lot.
They also changed it so the save spot isn't a dude who just randomly appears everywhere you go and then says, oh, you want to save? Hey, I'm also here. Why don't you save the world if you're in hell, dude? God. It's going to be like a statue, I guess, now.
Cool.
Supposedly that was some reference to older JRPGs I've never played.
Huh.
Yeah, right?
Weird.
Now you can skip cutscenes.
Yay.
Which every JRPG ever needs.
Yeah. The text is larger, and you can make it scroll faster now.
Aw, yeah.
Which is always nice. Good.
I always put it to max, but not instant, you know? That's my preference.
Depends if I've played it before.
They also took feedback on people having difficulty telling the difference between some walls and floors, like, and are upping the contrast and just kind of improving visibility across different tile sets.
Especially in caves.
Yeah, which is great. That's cool. Good feedback. It's fun. This demo apparently was more of a beta than anyone realized.
They added a brightness option and things like that so you can adjust it yourself.
Yeah, or change like bloom.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people didn't like the HD 2D effect, as
they call
it.
Which is dumb because it looks great.
It looks so good.
It looks really cool.
But you can reduce like the bloom and things, which is nice, you know, because I know that some people don't like having it super crazy like that. So,
yeah.
I know that was a problem for some people in Wind Waker HD.
Yeah, those people are stupid too.
Yeah.
Oh, and also they're just doing some combat difficulty refinement, which is interesting because I thought the combat was actually, once you figured out kind of each enemy, pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so maybe that's it. Maybe they're making it harder. We'll have to see. Interesting stuff. So the demo only had two of the paths, and obviously they weren't full.
Yeah, I need to try the other path. I never tried Primrose.
Me neither.
Yeah, I heard hers is more interesting.
That harlot. But yeah, cool. Check out Octopath Traveler if you like, classic JRPGs.
Very interested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you need another JRPG.
I know.
No, wrong. You're playing Persona next.
What?
Speaking of Persona, Atlus has been asking fans if they want Persona on other platforms. Apparently Atlus is not married to Sony. And they're like, hey, do you want Persona games on like Switch or Xbox?
The answer is always yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having other options. Like, consumers, except for really dumb ones. Yeah, that's right. I'm calling you dumb.
Idiot.
We
want more options.
Probably don't need exclusives. Like, I kind of enjoy when exclusive comes out for a system that I own. It helps justify own that system.
Yeah.
But that's a post-purchase justification prior to the fact that I made that purchase to that system. I would much prefer those things to come out for other systems, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it's silly to me, but...
In an ideal world, we would have one console where everything came out on.
In an ideal world, we would live the video games.
Yes. God, so true, Jeff.
You set your fantasy heights far too low.
Yeah.
Too slow. You're too slow.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is getting a free New Game Plus update in February.
Yeah.
Which is neat. I hope that it's good.
Yeah. It's funny how some New Game Pluses are just lame.
Yeah. If it's just, now you can play the game again with everything that you got.
Boring.
That's not interesting because the game is going to be very easy.
Yeah. Like upping difficulty is cool.
Yeah. Adding some.
I mean, Dark Souls 2's New Game Plus is like one of my top tier New Game Pluses, right?
I know that Xenoblade's getting DLC with like new blades and quests and stuff.
Yeah, right?
I don't know when that is, but dude, there's so many Titans.
Yeah, I know.
You don't even know, man.
I've heard.
It's ridiculous. There's still space on the map. I'm just like, when are you going to reveal this one? Or are you just leaving it open for the DLC? I don't know. It's crazy.
What was I?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Our controversy, which maybe has a happy ending, is related to Rainbow Six Siege, which, as you know, should know, super popular Ubisoft tactical team-based shooter. They announced a while back that coming this late winter would be a outbreak event, which is apparently like a horde mode event, which is kind of cool because it's always a PvP game. There are terrorist hunts, which are you breaking into an area to kill all of the terrorists in it. But an outbreak one would be defending it against presumably zombies. Classic Left 4 Dead or... I don't know, Halo style. Yeah, Call of Duty zombies style.
Mm-hmm.
But then the actual announcement of what this outbreak thing would entail in terms of microtransactions hit. So first of all, this summer Rainbow Six got a loot box system where, I mean, basically, without getting into too much detail, after every match, there's a chance you'll get a loot box. And the more games you play without getting a loot box, the higher the chance you'll get it on the next match. You only get it when you win matches. And if you don't get it when you win a match, your chance to get one goes up higher than it normally would. In addition, there's no way to spend real money to get these loot boxes. You can only buy them with...
Good.
You can only get them either randomly or using the renown that you only earn in-game.
Good.
Which people were pretty okay with. And they only give you visuals. That's the only things they give you. Cosmetics.
Sure, yeah.
Everything else you have to unlock with Renown in-game. Outbreak. Everyone who's playing the game when Outbreak starts gets 4 Outbreak packs. There are 60 unique cosmetics related to Outbreak.
Oh my goodness.
You are guaranteed when you open a pack to not get a duplicate. So if you open 60 Outbreak packs, you will get... everything that the Outbreak event has to offer.
That's nice.
You can spend real money for Outbreak packs. I can't remember what it was, but it was...
But
to
they,
buy all 60, it would cost you like $150 total or something like that.
But they don't affect the game.
They are all cosmetics, JD.
So people are mad about this one, though.
Well, hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
In addition, there are several different versions of Rainbow Six Siege you are presented with when purchasing the game. There's a standard edition, which gives you the normal game. It costs $60 or whatever. I think it actually went down a bit. You can get it on sale. And then it gives you a bunch of renown, which you can use to unlock a couple of basic operators. You then get more renown as you play to unlock more operators. There is another version called the Starter Edition, which is cheaper. It's traditionally been $20 cheaper than... the main edition. So if the normal game costs $60, the starter edition costs $40.
Okay.
The starter edition charges you much more renown to unlock operators. like 4 times as much. So an operator that normally takes you, I don't know, like 5 or 6 games to get enough renown to unlock would instead take you like 20 games to unlock. But the game cost you less initially.
Okay.
The funny thing is, the starter edition with this outbreak thing, they said, oh, if you buy the starter edition, you also get 10 renown or 10 outbreak booster packs with it.
Oh boy.
And we're increasing the cost by $20.
What?
Right. People were like, this starter edition, we already told no one to ever buy it because it makes the game just not fun to play with how much grind there is to unlock all of the
Why does it characters. Increase the grind?
It increases because the base game is cheaper. You pay $20 less to have an increased grind.
That's weird.
I kind of am into it. I think it's a cool concept. But then it's hilarious. They don't actually charge. Now they're charging the same amount, but you get 10 random cosmetics. And that's so stupid.
How do they know the difference between the starter pack and the regular version of the game?
It's just tied to your account, I think. It's weird. Yeah, no, I mean.
Because, like,
there's so much you can buy the game used. Right.
So, like, if you bought a starter pack used.
I mean, you could then buy the season passes to get, like, all of the season pass operators. Bam. Weird. It's, like, just the ones in the base game. Yeah, it's a really weird concept.
I don't like it.
Again, all of the, like, veteran players tell people, like, don't buy this.
That's dumb. I don't like it.
Also, people who bought the game, like, the full normal game would also get outbreak packs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, all the veteran players were like, so wait, you're giving people who come into the game now a bunch of these things for free. We'll get 4 of them, but they'll get like 20 of these cosmetics. There's a big out. And plus, you're making the starter set more confusing to trick people into getting this starter set, basically.
Jeez.
So anyway, Ubisoft backed down. They said, okay, starter set, never mind. Forget that thing. It's going to go back to $40. It doesn't come with any packs. Apparently, that made a lot of people angry. Also, all of you veteran players, you're getting a free skin for this one character, Ash. All veteran players will get this special skin for her.
But that's the worst character.
Well, right. And everyone's like, oh, great. Now that special skin is not so special because everyone will have it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, to be fair to the Rainbow Six community, every thread, there'd be a ton of complaints and like one voter at the top saying, are you kidding me, people?
Yeah. Calm down.
Anyway, it was a bit of a debacle, but I feel like it's all like, oh, okay, things are just back to normal. We still have this thing. There's still going to be weird cosmetics, but who cares? And the game's still fun to play.
What a weird thing. Developers make funny choices sometimes.
I mean, and they like backed down within like a day.
Yeah.
So the question is, like, were they just testing the water? Like, people think, oh, this was totally foot-in-the-door salesmanship tactics, like giving us the worst option first.
Maybe,
but you don't know. Who knows?
Don't get upset about stuff.
They might have just thought that, it made sense. Yeah. And then put it out there and went,
Never mind. Just kidding.
These people are making good points. Or they don't get it, but they're really angry, so whatever. We'll just change it.
You just don't get it.
Anyway, that was the controversy of the week.
Neat. In other news, Nintendo is shutting down Miitomo on May 9th.
What? I have spent $300 on special clothes for my Miitomo.
Said no one ever.
I mean, there's probably someone.
I'm sure there's somebody.
Miitomo, in case you've already forgotten, was the popular for about 2 weeks Nintendo service mobile game.
It was like Tomodachi. It's Tomodachi Life.
It was Light. Yeah, with like funny little questions that you answered. I don't know. It
was fun for a week.
It was really fun for about a week, and then it was like, there's nothing else to do in this game.
Yep. Don't care. Later. Delete.
Yep. So anyway, shutting down in May. So get your Miitomo in out. When the heck is the Switch online service launching, JD, with my free retro games?
I don't know. Not quite
free. I'm paying for them, but I still get them.
I think by the end of this year, we're going to hear about it E3. We have to hear about it E3 this year.
Just like we have to hear what Retro is working on.
More so than Retro, this makes way more sense. Like,
yeah, I think so. I think we...
This
I
is
think
a
it seems
service
likely.
That they are providing for a system that came out last year that they said was going to come out a couple months ago, initially. So, I'm expecting it to be
last half this year, probably. Maybe they'll drop it at E3 and it's available right now. I could totally see that happening because they like kind of doing that stuff lately. They did it with Breath of the Wild at Game Awards.
Man, it was great. The DLC is available.
Yeah, which I still need to play.
It's good. I need to finish it. Shoot.
Well, you finally got through the Cave of Ordeals, whatever it's called, right?
Yeah. I looked up tips, though.
You're so lame.
I feel weak.
Good.
No, it makes me... I don't feel good about it.
It's okay.
But I was so relieved that I finished it. Because it was like, this isn't going to weigh on me anymore. This was just a mental block.
It's tough, man. It gets pretty tough.
And... the tips didn't tell me anything I didn't know, really.
That last Lionel room's got a lot of dudes in it.
Oh, man, I just killed the Lionels with my Guardian Arrows and ran away.
See, I never used Guardian Arrows on them. I didn't even think about it.
I guess that was the big tip, telling me, okay, there's Guardian Arrows. Hey, did you know they kill Lionels in one hit? Also.
That's ridiculous. I think that's...
also, save them for basically the end. And I'm like... okay, that's good enough.
I'm kind of upset that works. Like, I feel
I wish I had known.
It doesn't make sense, like, in the world.
They're super duper powerful.
Yeah, but against Guardians, specifically.
I mean, it says they're very powerful, and they were engineered to go against Guardians. I don't think it says they're engineered to only do damage to Guardians.
I think they should do, like... maybe boosted damage.
Yeah. No, I mean, but I agree that it's, I don't know.
Like, one-shotting Guardians is one thing. Like, that makes sense to me. Because, like, that's what they're made for.
But there are downsides. You don't get the drops, which is really the reason to fight Lionels.
Yeah, but not there.
Yeah, right. Which is why I was just like, yep, bloop, you're dead. Yeah. And then they just go, they just pop out of existence.
Lame. Yeah, I fought them normal style.
I can't do Lionels, which is probably what the Guardian Arrows are there for me.
Did you watch my video that I uploaded like 17 years ago when I first got into that room, my reaction to that room?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I was like, oh God, that's a lot of guys. Like, because I think I walked in, I was like, oh, there's a Lionel. And then, bloop, 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 bloop. Like, I see all of the exclamation points appear above everybody's head. And I'm like, oh God.
I mean, I can just accept that you're better at handling situations in that game than I am. But outside of that... that Cave of Ordeals, whatever it's called, Master Sword Challenge.
I forget.
Outside of that, I have so many other options available to me to deal with it.
Yeah, I
enjoy using those options fully. Mm-hmm. Whereas in that, it's like, you just got to use weapons and this limited environment. And obviously your bombs.
Yep. Yep. And parrying, because parrying is fun.
I can't. I always mess it up a couple of times, and you can't afford to.
It's true.
In those. Anyway, next week, Shadow of the Colossus will have come out.
Yep.
I will have taken a day off of work to play it.
Really?
No, not okay. Really. Okay. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I might accident. I hate when I'm waiting for something and I actually feel sick. It makes me feel extra guilty for like considering taking a day off.
Am I actually sick or?
Well, it's like, and who's going to call me on it? No one, but I'll know that maybe I'm exaggerating this order to take. I know, but I wish I didn't feel guilty for it.
I know. Because I feel the same way. No, even if I don't have a game.
My mom isn't going to crap on me for it.
Even if there's not a game coming out.
No, like I said, like I already feel guilty when I take days off of work.
Like, am I actually sick or do I just want to stay home?
Right.
I mean, I know I want to stay home, but...
What if I'm really sick later and then I'll feel even guiltier because I have taken off a day already? Anyway.
Dude, I got so much sick time.
Me too. I have like 26 days of PTO.
Yeah, I think I do too.
And then... every time I'm like, oh man, I just used up so much. It's like, oh, but that's actually on a week where there are 2 days off of work anyway. So you really only used 3 of your days. I'm like, dang it.
I know. It's the same with me. It's like Christmas time, you know?
Yeah. It's like, you think it's taking up all your vacation.
Or even like Thanksgiving. It's like, oh, you took like 1 day. Like, oh, cool. Anyways.
We'll talk to you about that next week. And probably other stuff. Like the Xbox One X.
Ooh.
See you then.